at the deities, that we felt all of us a deep connection to the deities. We felt our life is for them. So I remember once after I had come from a very long time, I was sitting here. The seat was slightly lower. It was the old Vyasasan, I think so, or maybe it was this one. But I was remembering the deities, and as I was remembering and talking about the deities, one little pearl fell from the decoration of Shishi Radha Londoneshwara, and it fell down on the ground, and then ping, 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 rolled exactly towards me. I still have this pearl. I felt, my Lord is indicating to me, I'm still here, I'm still there in your life, and here is a pearl for you. So I remember this very distinctly. Good. So today I want to see, there must be a verse on the bar. It is behind me. Good. Can I maybe have a book? Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallabha Giri varadhari. Gopi jana vallabha Giri varadhari. Yasoda nandana Raja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana Raja jana ranjana. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Naya Prabhu Parad, Prabhu Parad, Prabhu Parad Sila, Prabhu Parad.
Prabhu
Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Londonishvara, Radha Londonishvara, Sri Radhe. Gaur Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo, Hari Krishna. So, yes. Oh, thank you. Another one. Wow, Jaini Thai. This is very kind of you. Good. Just organize myself here a little bit. Can someone please help me? The page has 11, 23, 12. Yes. Oh yeah. Up to 19 is yes. That's what I heard, and that's what I prepared myself, and I will chant. Sa evam. Yeah. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Sa evam dravine nashte. Dharma kama vivajita. Upakshitascha svajanaish. Chintama paduratyayam. Sa evam dravine nashte. Dharma kama vivajita. Upekshitascha svajanaish. Chintam apadurajyayam. Sa evam dravine nashte.
Sa evam dravine nashte.
Dharma kama vivajita.
Dharma kama vivajita.
Upekshitasya svajanaish.
Upekshitasya svajanaish.
Chintam apadurajayam.
Chintam apadurajayam.
Yes, please. Matatis, please. Thank you very much. So, saha hi evam, thus dravine, when his property nashte was lost, dharma religiosity. Kama and sense enjoyment, vivajita, devoid of, upekshitas, neglected, cha and svajanai, by his family members, chintam, anxiety. Apa, he obtained durajayam, insurmountable. Yes. So, translation. This, I think you all know, but I just want to give you briefly a context. This is about a brahmana who was very stingy. He had made money with great risk, but he had never spent the money which he made from agricultural produce. His family members hated them because there was no good food on the table. He was just so stingy, so absolutely just obsessed with the idea of making money, but he couldn't even enjoy it with his relatives. So there was a big conflict in his family, but finally he lost his property. You know, there was bad weather and the farms didn't, or the fields which he worked on didn't give any agricultural produce, and there were one accident, one mishappening after another. And the text starts now jumps here into the narration. Finally, when his property was completely lost, nothing was there, he who never engaged in religiosity or sense enjoyment became ignored by his family members. Thus he began to feel unbearable anxiety. They just didn't care about him any longer.
Having lost all his wealth, he felt great pain and lamentation. His throat choked up with tears, and he meditated for a long time on his fortune. Then a powerful feeling of renunciation came over him. No? When there's a lot of misery in the life of a a soul, and he really loses everything, and then when he sits down, and often he thinks, well, this is material life, what do you expect? And a powerful feeling of renunciation comes. This is a small purport. The Brahmana had previously been trained in pious life, but his past goodness was covered by his offensive behavior. Finally, his previous purity was reawakened within him. Sachahidam aho kashtam. The Brahmana spoke as follows. Oh, what great misfortune! I've simply tormented myself uselessly, struggling so hard for money that was not even intended for religiosity or material enjoyment. Generally, the wealth of misers never allows them any happiness. In this life, it causes their self-torment, and when they die, it sends them to hell. Well, when you're miserly, you can't enjoy in this life, and because you've made your money with illicit means, you get bad reactions. Here's a small purport again. The miser is afraid to spend his money even for obligatory religious and social duties. Offending God and people in general, he goes to hell. Whatever pure fame is possessed by the famous, and whatever praiseworthy qualities are found in the virtuous, are destroyed by even a small amount of greed. Just as one's attractive physical beauty is ruined by a trace of white leprosy. So you may be famous, and you may have very good qualities, but if you are greedy, then this ruins everything. Just like you may be extremely blessed with physical well-being and beauty, but when there is leprosy, everything is lost. So this greed makes one stingy. Translation. In the earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth. My God, these were a lot of words. All men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. In other words, when you want to earn money, you get money, you increase your money, you protect your money, and so on and so forth. When you only focus with great labor on your money, then you have fear and anxiety and delusion. Last verse for today. Theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust. Oh my God, this is all because of greed of for wealth. There is theft, there's violence, there's speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and the dangers caused by women, gambling, and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. You have to be very careful, my dear devotees, yet that you don't become greedy for this. No. It was given to me this morning, so... but when you become greedy, you lose your integrity. Although these qualities are undesirable, men falsely ascribe value to them. One desiring to achieve the real benefit of life should therefore remain aloof from undesirable material wealth. Purport. The words anartham, atakyam, or undesirable wealth indicate wealth that cannot be efficiently engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such superfluous money or property will undoubtedly pollute a man with all of the above mentioned qualities and therefore should be given up. Oops. So I will give Jai Nithai some Lakshmi. It should be given up if it is not used for devotional service. So I know Jai Nithai will put it in the donation box and it will be used very No, we have to be practical. No, Go Krishna, not reading and just not doing. It needs to be done. Yes, this undesirable wealth can be something very small even. There was once a great yogi, spiritual person, who came to the palace of a king. The king gave him a very luxurious room in his guest house. And this renunciant stayed there. There was a bathroom on his own, very good food was served to him, but he became very angry at the king. One day, after 2 weeks, he approached the king. The king was sitting on his throne, and he said, "How do you expect to become a good devotee or a spiritualist when you are surrounded by so much wealth?" When the king heard this, he jumped off his throne, took the chadar of the yogi, and ran towards the fireplace. It was winter, and threw the chadar into the fireplace, and it burned. The yogi was understandably disturbed. Imagine Gaur Krishna comes with his new hoodie and then a lecturer on the throne takes the hoodie and throws it into a fire. This is, why did you do this? You know. So that the yogi didn't. He said, "You destroyed my only chatter. Why?" The king said, "Oh, Yogi Raj, you are very attached to your chatter. You are so attached that you are totally disturbed when it is gone. I, on the other hand, am not attached to this palace. Many times I have seriously desired to walk out of this palace and go into the forest." And his minister nodded. "But only because they told me I should rule the country so that dharmic principles can be lived, I stayed on the throne and I carry this heavy burden of ruling with me. I'm not attached, but you're attached to your chadar. Look at you, how totally upset you are." It's Yogi Raj. When in your heart is no love for Krishna, you will be attached to even your underwear. Hare Krishna.
strong words.
So attachment or greed, we have heard 15 undesirable qualities. Who of you remembers one of these qualities? What? Lust. It's all there. It's all there. I think without the help of this, you would have not been able to remember even one. I know how you listen, because I'm one of you. So the very bad quality. Look at this list. It makes you depressed to see it. Now, it is interesting what went on. I would like to ask Jainitai, can you find here in the by looking at the verses, please, the verse Etam Sa Astaya, Etam Sa Astaya, and give the book to me. It's interesting when Brahmana was so troubled by his sudden loss of his wealth, and what troubled him even more, do you remember what it was? I think you know the reaction of his relatives, who totally ignored him now where he was poor. No, that troubled him very much. I once heard, yes, how painful it is when previously you were worshipped. I thank you so much. I thank you. You were worshipped and held in high esteem, and now just because you have no money any longer, or everyone turns away from you, it's so painful, no? Can you understand? Or maybe you were, let me speak in modern English, a football star, and you were quite able to manipulate the ball, and you were scoring goals for your team, and now maybe you broke your leg and therefore you cannot play football any longer, and everyone turns away from you. No newspaper articles, no friendly welcome, nothing. This is what happens in material relationship when beauty goes, money goes, fame goes, then people don't stay with you any longer. In spiritual relationships, that's not the case. I visited yesterday Shruti Dharma, and I could see he was not able to recognize me any longer, nor was he able to speak many things. He spoke four words, and I heard that was very much in his condition. He usually doesn't speak. He just looks with eyes at you, not recognizing you, not recognizing the environment. So normally, if this happens to someone, everyone turns away from him. But I saw that spiritual relationships are different. There are devotees who stay with him. Some of his devotee friends don't move now anywhere. They don't go to Mayapur, to the festival. Some have stopped their preaching, but or have changed the time when they preach. You know, they stay 2 days with him entirely, and everyone is around him, not minding that everything is going from Shruti Dharma, more and more and more, because they know there's a soul who has served the Vaishnavas, and they are staying with him. This is a spiritual relationship, no? But in material life, this is very rare. Very rare, very rare. When everything goes, you know, beauty, fame, money, what else? Health, memory. People turn away and ignore you, and that's very painful, because relationships can make you strong, but failed relationships, when some such a thing happen, it weakens you like anything. It makes you really weak, very, you lose all power when this happens. Now, it's very interesting, my dear devotees. This was so shocking to the Brahmana that he was startled and he was waken up. He was awakened in his spiritual life. And in his previous life, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he had done some bhakti. So this was totally covered by his greed, which he had displayed. But now where he was shocked, that bhakti became somehow shaken up and came alive. And he was able to say, I had it, I will leave material life now. And he sang a beautiful song, which is the song of the Avanti Brahmana. It is sung by sannyasis. Can I sing the song for you? Don't you mind that my voice is not so good? No problem. I will try as good as I can. It's beautiful. Netam sastaya paratmanishtam atyasitam puvatame mahatpi aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangrini seva jaiva. Isn't that beautiful? Heart-touching, no? This is what he's saying. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nations by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of, you know, everything. This was a proved by the previous acharyas in the past, who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was his, this awakened. Do you remember another instance in the Bhagavatam where a devotee who had been now totally covered was awakened by the shock therapy? I'm Pingala the prostitute. What had happened to Pingala?
She was waiting for some customers to come for her
profession. Yes.
No one was coming and no one was stopping. Then all of a sudden she became overcome with a sense of renunciation.
Yes. Wonderful, Prabhu, yes. And she also prayed wonderful prayers, actually. Wonderful prayers, which made it into the Bhagavatam. No? Thank you. What is your good name, Prabhu? Wonderful. The one who carries a flute. Murli Manohar. Good. Is another example? I heard someone was talking, saying, suggesting. Please repeat. Ajamil, yes. What happened to him? Yeah. You are close. But yes, he had been a very good Brahmana, but then lost it all because he entered into a relationship with a prostitute, and he became, you know, he became ostracized by the Brahmin community. No one gave donations to him any longer. So he became a robber, a thief, as far as I remember, even a murderer. But then on his deathbed, when he saw the Yamadutas coming to fetch him, he chanted, Narayan. He didn't remember exactly Lord Narayan. He remembered his boy who had been given the name Narayan. How this came is an interesting story, actually. I will tell it another time. And then he grew up. He woke up. Another example which comes to my mind is Gajendra, who had been a great devotee, Maharaj Indradumna, in his last life, but then was cursed to become an elephant, very dull, very, very much covered. But then when he suffered tremendous suffering, he actually woke up and remembered the prayer he had prayed in his last life. So all these examples can inform us about something, that sometimes Krishna wakes us up with a shock. Has this happened to one or two of you? Some of you not the head. Something happened to you in your life where you were really, my God, I must change. Something went totally wrong in my life. And Krishna gives us this waking calls, you could call it by. There's so many examples in the Bhagavatam. Narada Muni's mother died and he... So this is Krishna explains what is going on in his mind when he shocks the devotees and just shakes them a little. It's his love. It's a sign of his love to wake his devotees up, and then they turn to him in prayer. Do you sometimes pray? Not so much, I think, no? From your reaction. Yes, maybe you need to be shaken up. Hare Krishna. Ooh. Today I would like to tell you a little bit about the lost art of prayer. But there is one prayer that comes before all other prayers. One prayer that precedes everything else. It is, may the real I pray, not the false I. And may the real you hear. What I mean with this is that so
often we are trapped in superficiality. We talk in the same way as computers talk. I have today challenged one devotee. He has not yet answered. I will go after him. I have said, what is it that you can do that a computer cannot do? What is what you can speak that a computer cannot speak? We want to heal the real you. that when we pray, my dear devotees, and in ISKCON language, we have to pray heart deep. It can't be lip deep. Just repeating something. Today we chanted the Brahma Sanghita, and one devotee sang. I wanted to turn around and said, "Can you tell me what you just sang?" And what? I know this. I've done this in the past, but I want to be invited again in this temple. So therefore, I will not do these things to the residents. No. Very often, we are not there when we pray. It has become mechanic, lip deep, not heart deep. Not the real eye speaks. It's the false eye. Huh? At least I do this mistake constantly. So this is what you need to make sure when you start to preach. Krishna wants to hear the real you. He doesn't want to hear a voice on the computer, you know. Today we heard one computer, you can address him. Hey, you have to say Siri. And then the computer, yes, what? Tell me, and you can ask him any question, and very quickly he answers. Whoa! He said, give me a moment. But it was so quick, you know, that was less than a moment he answered. Yes, computers, artificial intelligence. We will hear a lot of this in the future. So you have to make sure that it's not superficial intelligence. We can call it superficial intelligence, not artificial intelligence. It must be you. You. Krishna wants to hear you. He doesn't want to hear Siri, the computer, and so on. So there are three types of prayer, they are usually organized in a certain sequence. So if you want to make a prayer session, my dear devotee, thank you, by the way, this was, actually, I can place it here, this work, then the Bhagavatam is close. There is a certain sequence in which you can pray. It starts with the modi. Modi means the kind of prayer. It's called Sampratanatmika, a prayer with wholehearted surrender of body, mind, and soul for awakening love for Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada says, very feelingly you offer prayers. It is, you understand, I don't have love at the moment for you, Radha and Krishna. I'm such a beginner in my spiritual life. I have love for other things and other people, and this gives me some amount of pain. So there is a prayer, this type of prayer. You ask that, oh, may my love for you be awakened. Would you like to have an example? I will give you an example from Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada writes, in the Padma Purana, there is a statement of submission in feeling by devotees praying to the Lord. Some of you will blush when you hear this prayer. Get ready for a surprise. It is very psychological. My Lord,
I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys. And I also know that young boys have natural affection for young girls. I'm praying at your lotus feet that my mind may become attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way. No, you don't we all know this? When we are in the male body, when we see a beautiful young girl who's decorated with devotional qualities, maybe, then there is some response in our heart. When we are a girl and we see a nice devotee with kindness and many good qualities, and he may show some interest in conversing with us, then we immediately feel also some spontaneous feeling going in this way. It is very natural that this happened. This is how our bodies and minds were created. It's not something we need to be ashamed of. We just need to know how to channel this energy in the right way. And this is what the prayer is about. It says, may this spontaneous attraction come as spontaneously as it does come in this world, with people of this world, may it flow to you. That is a wonderful prayer, no? It's a very honest prayer. It is admitting our situation in the world, and it says it is really a prayer for transformation. Let this feeling, which is so natural and comes so easy, let it come as natural and as easy in relationship to you. The devotee prays like this. He stands before Radha London Ishvara and he says, my dear Lord, I'm bound with my emotions to this material world. I request you now sincerely that my emotions are bound to you. It's a beautiful type of prayer. It's called Sampratanatmika, a prayer with the whole body. What is it? Mind and soul, not the real I speaks here, for awakening love for Radha and Krishna. Then there is another type of prayer. It is called Dainya Bodhika. It's a prayer where you make known your own insignificance and even worthlessness. And adopt a humble state of mind. No? You go before the deity. Would you like an example? It's, again, I'm quoting from the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 9, where Prabhupada quotes the Padma Purana. Here's a prayer. My dear Lord, there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself. Nor is there a greater offender than myself. I am so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I'm simply ashamed. You may say, Maharaji, I'm not so bad. My sinful life is... I was born in Krishna consciousness. Or you know, yes, before I was not so absolutely strict. I did not know about rules and regulations, but I can't pray like that, you know. Then I'm really, again, dishonest when I say there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself. I think Radhika Ranjana is more sinful. if you think like this, I hope this is not unpleasant. Maybe I shouldn't say any name. Let's erase this. My neighbor devotee, he is a sinner. He was a punk in London. You know. No, is there a greater offender than myself? No, I'm not like these internet offenders who write all kinds of offenses. I'm not like this. I'm so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities, no, it's all right. Before you, I'm ashamed. My dear devotees, if you want to get the mercy, you have to approach the Lord in a humble state of mind. I would like to give you an example. If I want this glass to be full, I can't place it here in the thermos where the water is here. I have to, this is wrong, this it needs to be exchanged. I have to put the thermos above and the pot, or what is it, the cup underneath. And then see, can you see with your own eyes? The water flows. In the same way, mercy can only come if you approach a higher being, the Lord, in a humble state of mind. You can see we have left Krishna. Phew, this is a problem. Patita Pavan, what do you think about this problem? We have left Krishna and come to the material world. What more of a sin can we imagine? This is the ultimate fall, you know, from grace. So you can say, you can, but pray again, it must be you. If you pray something and you don't feel it, I wanted to show you this, I will not repeat myself here, then your prayer has no shakti. Maybe you say something like, I'm now standing before you in devotee cloth. But my Lord, you know my heart better than I. My heart is not yet a devotee. Every morning I wake up as an atheist. Poo-hoo. So say something which is real. Don't just repeat, what did you just say? Oh, I don't know, I will look at the prayer sheet. The real I has to speak, not Siri, the computer voice, no? Who can learn something, who can be programmed in some way, and so on. And the last is Lala Samayi. I think devotees need to understand about this. My dear devotees, very often when we hear, especially in ISKCON, when we hear, because we don't have so much confidence, the bar is so high in our lives, and we fail to reach it, and then we have not so much confidence, and when we hear about, oh, I'm insignificant and worthless, we need therapeutic help, because we develop a minority complex, a lack of self-worth, which is problematic. This is not what Dainya Bodhika is. Dainya Bodhika just is not ruining your self-confidence. It puts a real statement, and it's not the end station of your prayer journey. How did your prayer journey start? Who remembers? I think some of you will remember. I'm sorry? No, that's not how prayer starts. Mind, body, and soul. It starts. What? Yes, we have to come before the Lord, and very feelingly, asked him to awake that in our hearts love and devotion and bhakti awakens. Therefore this thing was that as spontaneous as what? As attraction, yeah, between the genders, no? We want, this is natural. We want it to be natural. So then we say the next station is where our train stops. We come to a humble state of mind. And then, listen to this. Lala Samayi. It means yearning for some devotional perfection. Yearning for the personal service of Radha and Krishna. At this time, one will naturally express his loving feelings, you know, one has prayed for them, to Shri Radha and Krishna. And one desires some perfectional state. Would you like to have an example to better comprehend? Good. Prabhupada writes, he actually quotes, he summarizes Rupa Goswami. In the Narada Pancharatra, there's a statement of submission accompanied by the desire for perfection. The devotee says, my dear Lord, when shall the day come when you will ask me to fan your body? And according to your pleasure, you will say, you just fan me in this way. You mean from the left side, you know, maybe. So the idea here is that a devotee wants to become an associate of Krishna. He wants to go to Krishna and render some service. So your train of prayer has to go through three stations. First station was Samprata Atmika, where you go before the Lord and with something that is real, has to come from body, mind and soul, you asked the Lord, please awaken my devotion for you. Then you go to the state, your train continues, and it's halts, it stops at Dainya Bodhika. Here you submit yourself. You say, I'm actually not such a great devotee. I'm in need of help. My mind and my senses are not under my control. You can pray the Gopinath prayers. They are extremely good expressions of Dainya Bodhika. And finally, you come to the last halt, the station, where, do you remember what you do here? You are wonderful. You are very attentive audience today. You are, yes, desiring to be engaged in Radha and Krishna's service. You desire actually to go back to Godhead and become their associate. It's very high level. Lala Samayi. No? Where you desire, oh Lord, please kindly tell me your wishes in this regard. And in this way, you will leave the blazing fire of misery and pray. I think you have seen this is not an instruction to pray for material things. Have you noted? It is an instruction to pray in a Krishna conscious way. I thank you very much for listening. I have to now find out where we stand with the time. Shaini Thai Prabhu, how long do we have time for questions? Up to which time? Around 9 o'clock. Yeah, around 9. Good. So I would appreciate if there are some questions by my wonderful audience. I see... I think your name is Prem Sankirtan or Nam Sankirtan. Wonderful. Nam Sankirtan. Yes, Nam Sankirtan.
Thank you very much for a very deep and thoughtful class. I had this question for a while, and today I think is a very nice opportunity to ask this. You're saying the initial quality, just so we come to the real eye.
Yeah.
In Upanishamrita Rupa Goswami explaining about the similar thing, he explains about Agarat.
About, sorry.
Agarat.
Agarat?
Agarat, you know, Agarat in Amrinam, to get rid of the jaundice.
Yeah.
It has to be daily and has to be with full consciousness or with respect or very carefully.
Yes, yes.
So recently we finished the marathon. And many times, because the marathon is extra endeavor, and our chanting, you know, we don't have enough time to sit down and chant all 16 rounds in one place. And sometimes we're traveling, sometimes we're tired and busy. So how does this adarat or respect or conscious prayer can manifest in the circumstance where we're now that,
yes, Nam Sankirtan. Have you understood Nam Sankirtan's question? Good. I would like to offer two perspectives in the answer. One is, you're doing such an important seva. And yes, you are right, it is exhausting physically, but also mentally you have to be so focused in order to address the people on the street that they take note of you and stop. You know, you really have to be there and be there fully intentional. You have to be fully intentional while you're there. So it is understandable that, and then you travel, it's understandable that you will be physically exhausted and mentally also exhausted. And then it's very difficult to focus on your sadhana. But Krishna understands. There was once the leading dean of the Benares Hindu University, and he came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with a very complicated philosophical question. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you go to my gardener. You know, his name was, I believe, Ram Mohan. You go to Ram Mohan and you ask him the question. So the dean, do you understand the word dean? He's director of a university. He said, I came to you, the famous acharya, not to your gardener. No, you go to the gardener, you will see. So he went to Ram Mohan, and Ram Mohan said, Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai. Greeted him more or less with this shloka. He said, the dull material senses cannot understand Krishna, his name, his form, his activities. But someone who engages in service, Krishna becomes automatically manifested within his heart. I think you are familiar with this shloka. I see from you nodding the head. So Ram Mohan said, we need to plant some plants today. Please help me. And you know, the man was a dean. He was not a gardener by profession. But Ram Mohan had such a pleasant nature that the dean said, anyways, I have to stay here. My car comes in the evening to forget me. The acharya doesn't want to speak to me. I might as well do the gardening here. And he helped Ram Mohan. In the evening, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked him, so, have you understood the answer to your question? The dean said,
And he remembered. Ram Mohan had quoted this verse. He had said, by service you can understand. Something. Se von Mukhe means he whose face, Mukha means face, turns to service. He has an inclination to service. He will understand. Of course we have to do our sadhana. We can't say, nope. Okay, Maharaj said, by seva we understand, not by sadhana. I didn't say not by sadhana. I said, seva has this quality that it purifies the soul, and then we are able to understand. Now, of course we will do our sadhana as good as we can, but under these circumstances, let's face the reality. I couldn't give you 1,000 tips from the Living Name book how you can even chant fixed in this situation. But I myself in this situation, I'm here in London, and London means a lot of preaching opportunities. And I have also, I got to bed yesterday at around 11:30, then I woke up today at 5 o'clock, and then I needed to go to the bathroom. I need to do some exercise so that I don't have back pain during the day. 8 minutes it takes. And then Radhika Ranjan was in the room to say, we have to go to Soho, traffic problem could be there. Krishna was very kind to us. We just zoomed through like a bullet, but there was no traffic problem. But you have to calculate. It can often there's traffic problem, and I wanted to be here on time. So I chanted my rounds in the car. Not all. I've chanted now 8 rounds. I will make sure that then after this I will speak with the temple president. We will eat breakfast together. Then that's what is on my schedule at least. And then I will need to go to Om Nom, and I will do preaching to the staff there. Then I will. The whole day goes like this, and the evening there is a program here at 7 o'clock in the Swiss church. I cannot say it because it's already booked out. I give secretly a program at 7 o'clock, and I know then it will be late again. So. But I know, this is a demanding day, but I will, when I sit down, I will make sure I give my best. You know, when there is the opportunity, and Krishna will see. He's here to serve in London. He's not, his prime motive is not to give a japa retreat or to have his own japa retreat. That is at other times. He understands. And don't forget, seva is so dear to Krishna. Sevan mukhe hi jivaro svayam eva spuratyada. You please, if you are interested, you may look up this verse. Ata si Krishna namadi. Beautiful shloka. Hare Krishna. My second answer is just when you sit down to chant, this is a simple technique you can do. You just make yourself aware, I'm chanting now Krishna's name, and you then take your awareness and your consciousness from the millions of other things away, and you just try to do one thing. You bring your mind and connect it to the sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You may start a little slow because
the mind is slow in the beginning, but then you can pick up and go to your speed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama. But start a little slow and connect the mind with the sound. And then it's like entering a train, Nam Sankirtan. When you enter a subway, it takes you somewhere, no? So when you enter with the mind, the sound, the sound of the holy name, takes you somewhere. You may need a little practice from time to time, but make it a point. Okay, now I have this time to chant. I don't have much more time throughout the day. I will chant, of course, my 16 rounds. That is a must. Otherwise, what signal do you show to Krishna when you don't take your own vows serious? It is, you must chant, but you may distribute it. Some of us are grihastas, no? Very busy, I see. You have to leave the lecture early because you need to work and so on. Prabhupada said, when he was a grihasta, he chanted his rounds 4 rounds in the morning before breakfast, then 4 rounds before noon, the noon meal, then 4 rounds before the dinner meal, and then 4 rounds in the after dinner, you know, in the evening. He also distributed his rounds, in other words. That is permissible when we have such circumstances, or we do seva. No, that is all right. Thank you. Wonderful question. But use this simple technique. Sit down, or if you are too restless or too tired, then you may walk. But then just start a little slowly and make sure your mind hears the sound. After all, it's a mantra. It's supposed to deliver your mind. But if your mind is not there, it will not be able to deliver the mind. No? So bring the mind to the chanting. Hare Krishna. Who else? Then we are done. No, one devotee is there.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. You're a very enlightened class. Just one question about you're talking about prayer and following this process of bhakti yoga. There's a stage called anatta nirvritti where you have so many anattas coming up. And and I've observed over the years that the thing that stops people continuing with the process of devotional service is these anattas.
Yeah.
So it seems that, you know, this is a very important stage. So what sort of prayer or what can we do to, first of all, find out specifically what our anattas are and how to go about removing them, basically?
Specifically what the anattas are, and then how to remove them on an individual level. The anattas become pretty clear in the association of devotees. You just have to open yourself a little bit to hear, Prabhupada, please give me some feedback. Where do you think I should work on? Sometimes we are afraid of this, especially in this mutual pleasing society. You always say only nice things about each other because you feel, my God, he's so insecure. If he will hear some some correction, he will break to pieces, you know. But it's I find this very this is more and more, it's a mutual admiration society. Did Prabhupada use this word? Mutual admiration.
I once was at a congregational member's house. I will not tell you the name. It was not in England. Or was it? I have to, you know, make sure that no one knows who it is. And this devotee said, "Oh, Maharaj, I'm following you on Facebook. I'm listening to all your lectures and so on. What was your name?" Innocent, you know. I think some of you will know whom I'm talking about, you know. "Oh, please, what was your name?" I thought you follow me on Facebook. I thought you listened to my lectures. Can you just tell me a point from one lecture?" It was about Krishna, I think. I almost said, "Why do you say these things? For we are grown-up men, no? Can't we be real? What is the benefit for you to say these things? I'm a fool, but I'm not that foolish that I believe you." You know, it sounds, for my ears, it sounds extremely hurtful, what you just said. Why don't you say, "I don't know you as of yet, Maharaj, but I'm very happy to host you in my house, and let us have a nice program where we worship Krishna." That would be, oh, wonderful. Here the real person speaks. Hare Krishna. So in the association of devotees who are really your friend, they will tell you, if they are your friends. If they are not, they will go along with this other thing. And maybe to encourage him, you should say, "Please help me, please tell me." Maybe not in a public lecture, but privately. Hare Krishna. There's some room for improvement. That's why devotees are there. They are the true friends of us. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much. All of you, I thank very much. Please, I'm from a different country and a different culture. Sometimes I may say things that slightly upset you who are from a different country and different culture, maybe. I mean very well, but my English is improving. I'm not knowing 100% how to say the right word, which is just very poignant. I don't know yet. It will come. It will come. I'm trying to. I have an English teacher. So I thank you all very much. I wish you a wonderful day and devotional service. It would be nice to see you again at some time. I know on Sunday, His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj is there, and Madhava is there, and we will do kirtans in the Bhaktivedanta Mena. Maybe you have time to come, or at another time we will see each other in London. I wish you all the best, lots of spiritual strength, and you have the most wonderful deities and most wonderful Jaini Thai Prabhu. Yes, always here, how you encourage so many devotees are here. So may you all be successful in your Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.